LGB. 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 They say
LGB everywhere
I go.
LGB.
What it means?
I don't know.
LGB.
Whatever it is.
LGB.
Kamala, help me.
Please.
Please.
Alrighty then.
LGB.
That let's go, Brandon.
Right?
LGB.
This means let's go, Brandon.
No. LGB.
Sounds like let's go,
Brandon.
I guess.
LGB.
Alright.
Let's go, Brandon.
I am Cornholio.
Chant.
LGB.
Right wing and left wing.
LGB.
Go, you know the thing.
LGB.
If you don't sing,
get back. LGB.
And you claim black.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all, good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Good evening, Vito. Great to be here. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. Doing okay, you know. Just a little ornery tonight, but I don't know why.
Hey, that's like every other night. Did you watch some good football this weekend?
You know, wasn't Saturday a really cool college football day, not including night? I mean, and, you know, first of all, condolences go out to Hank Jones and his Iowa Hawkeyes. The Hawkeyes were manhandled by the Michigan Wolverines in the Big Ten Championship.
42-3. Ouch.
42-3. But you know what, Al? I do want to thank the Hawkeyes for not scoring more than 10 points because I won a sleeve of golf balls from Holger. I bet the under on the 10 points. I didn't think they would score more than 10. Yeah. I have to say, you know, listening to Hank and the boys and his boys on Wednesdays, I've kind of learned a little bit about the Iowa Hawkeyes, and they had some they have a quarterback controversy, and at least they have a problem at the quarterback position. And so far, you know, two games this year they didn't score 10 points, and there was just something about the Michigan defense that I thought would hold them, and plus, you know, would they be poised enough to make some plays? And unfortunately, They didn't, and they got spanked by Michigan. I mean, that was really incredible. I didn't believe. So thank you, Holzer, for the golf balls. I appreciate it.
Ooh, what kind? What kind did you get?
They're Callaways, and you know they're it's
Ooh.
Good. And I know you like these. I believe the Super Soft.
I love the Callaway Super Softs.
Yeah. I like them for the cold weather, and since we're getting into the cold, we are into the cold season. You know, teeing off in the morning when it's 48 degrees, and you know you're not going to compress the ball. So I need a golf ball that's that I can compress, and what better than a Viking golf ball? You know.
Oh, those are the best. Well, at least the Iowa fans, you know, okay, so they dropped the number 15, but they will be playing Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl.
Oh.
They're ranked 22, so that'll
right.
be for our hot Iowa Hawkeye fan, who knows? There is some consolation in that they'll be able to whoop up on Kentucky.
I hope so. You know, and you know what? Since there's a good contingency, you know, down in South Florida or Central Florida, you know, and the weather certainly will be better than it would be in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It should be a good Citrus Bowl. That's January 1st. They play the Citrus Bowl, I believe, right?
Correctamundo.
And then in perhaps the upset of the weekend, and I know that there were some that thought that Georgia was going to trounce Alabama. I was not a believer in that. And I'll tell you, Al, I didn't think that Georgia would trounce Alabama, mainly because Georgia coach Kirby Smart was an underling at one point, one of Nick Saban's coaches, and he's yet to beat Nick Saban. Now, I know it's not the coaches that you know, play the team, but it's just something there. I didn't think Georgia could do it. I didn't think they would spank them, let's say that. Well, it turned out that the Crimson Tide came out to play, and they dominated Georgia all day long. And Bama won that game 41-24 to once again win the SEC championship. And it vaulted number three Alabama in the national championship bowl to number one. And I'm glad to see, though, Georgia did make the Final Four, and they should have, because they had a great season. They lost in the championship game, certainly. But you know what? Everybody else that was five and lower, they five and higher, they didn't play very well, except for, of course, Notre Dame. They didn't have a conference championship game to play for, so they had nothing to lose and everything to gain, you know, if the stars aligned properly. And that would have been Alabama losing, Michigan losing, and Cincinnati losing. Cincinnati won, the Bearcats won, and they won the American Atlantic Conference. They beat Houston 35-20. And the Utah Utes beat the Oregon Ducks, quack, quack, in the Pac-12 championship. So that was interesting. And then Baylor, go ahead. What was that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Go on and finish with Baylor.
Baylor stunned number five Oklahoma State, which Oklahoma State had a chance to jump into the top four. But they got beat by Baylor. Baylor had a pretty good defense to hold off the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And then Pittsburgh beat Wake Forest in the ACC championship. So,
yeah. And the results of that are you going to see Oklahoma State and Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State and Utah in the Rose Bowl, and Ole Miss and Baylor in the Sugar Bowl. But like you said, the two big games, number one Alabama versus number four Cincinnati in the Cotton Bowl, and then you've got number two Michigan and number three Georgia in the Orange Bowl, which I think may end up being the better game.
All right, so number three Georgia against who?
Number two, Michigan.
Ooh. You know what? I agree with you. That Michigan, that's going to be a really good game. And you know, I'm really glad to see that it wasn't Alabama versus Georgia for, you know, in the playoff. That
a rematch.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, ultimately it can be, but that's going to be a really good bowl game. That's in the Miami bowl, is that? I forgot.
Orange Bowl.
Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
That's going to be a great game to watch. So Cincinnati's going to play. So that means that Cincinnati plays Alabama.
Correct.
And what bowl is that?
That would be the Cotton Bowl. Now, where they're playing, I don't know. Yeah.
Now, I'm surprised, though, with all the Cincinnati is part of the woke culture, I thought. And with the NCAA caving to the wokeness, I'm surprised they still call it the Cotton Bowl.
I was wondering if you can still say that or if there's some racial implication for the Cotton Bowl. Picking cotton T-shirts. There's nowhere to go anywhere good with this Cotton Bowl. So I vote that they get rid of the Cotton Bowl and turn it into the Gin Bowl in honor of cotton. Because what separates cotton better than the cotton gin?
Yeah, but then gin has alcohol connotations. And then with alcohol connotations, then you have an addiction. Then with addiction, then you have issues with, then the 10 steps. And yeah, no.
True. Yeah. Yeah, those 12 steps are a bitch, aren't they? But, all that aside, I don't know. Well, the cotton gin was invented by a black man, so that kind of throws everything into a quandary that I can't decipher. I just don't have the bandwidth to do it.
Call it the Eli Whitney Bowl. There we go.
There we go. That's goodbye, it. Cotton Bowl. Hello, yeah. Eli Whitney Bowl. I'm in. I'm woke. I'm happening.
Pick your battle. Oh.
Yeah. That's my battle.
Oh, jeez. Going to be
great.
Bring back
the Robert E. Lee statues and give me the Eli. Who's it? Eli Whitney?
Eli Whitney, yeah.
The Eli Whitney Bowl. I think you're onto something. I think you started a movement.
There we go. There we go. Along with the Utah Utes.
Yes.
Hey, but I'll tell you, though, the biggest – sack on Saturday actually came Saturday night. And finally, the outcome we were expecting to see, DNC, CNN propaganda network, finally fired Chris Grabme Cuomo 3 days after the network received a new accusation of sexual misconduct from a junior colleague. And after new details on help he gave to his brother, King Andrew Cuomo, both arrogant bros beaten by the Me Too movement. Interesting, huh?
Okay, so Chris Cuomo got in trouble for grabbing ass. I don't know if it was a male or a female. I guess it's irrelevant. But he didn't lose his job after it was revealed that he was exploiting his media resources in an effort to concoct a public relations strategy for his brother Andrew Cuomo, the now disgraced former governor of New York, who had been credibly accused of sexually assaulting and harassing at least one dozen women. So Chris Cuomo using his media position to cover for his brother, that's okay, but the grabbing of the ass just took it over the top, and now he's gone.
You know, isn't it amazing? Here we had from 2017 to 2020, you had the phony women's rights movement, descend on Washington, D.C., and they tried to paint President Trump as a misogynist and all this and womanizer and blah, blah, blah. And they wore these vagina hats and they were going into their chants and all that stuff. And it was all about women's rights, women's rights. Women should be believed. Women's rights, women's rights. And then you've got King Cuomo, a Democrat. And it took how many months? It took a year. And then you got Chris Cuomo going out and violating women and sexually harassing them. And it's okay when it's a left winger that's being accused, like Joe Biden, bumbling Biden, and his escapades with groping women, groping young girls, sniffing their hair, all of these acts of perversion. And it's okay. The women's issues do not apply when the one being accused are on the left side of the aisle. And suddenly all women's issues go out the door. You know, even with regards to, you know, the cross-dressing males who decide that they're gonna run track as a female because they can't cut it as a male. And they sit there and they deny true gender-specific girls, okay, from a higher education, from getting the accolades and awards that they truly deserve for excelling in a sport such as track and field. And because a dude who runs in Division III can't be competitive, he decides he's going to put on a dress because today he feels like a girl. And there's no outrage by the left wing. Suddenly, women's rights go out the door. Women's rights, whether it's in sports, women's rights, whether it's in the open market, it all goes out the door in order to protect and shield left-wing perverts like Andrew Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, or Joe Biden. As a matter of fact, even Bill Clinton, for that matter. You know, they're suppressing the information on the number of visits to Epstein Island on Lolita Express that Bill Clinton engaged in. How about Chief Justice Roberts, the same thing? And again, it doesn't apply. Women's rights suddenly go out the window. But boy, they were vicious and vehemently going against Donald Trump because Donald Trump had an R after his name. So what we're seeing today, we're witnessing the exposing of the fraudulent left wing, from the perverted left wing, from the scum on the left. Okay, who consistently go after the right and try to define anybody who's a Republican, member of the GOP, or labeled a conservative. And it turns out the real scumbags are those that are on the left-wing side of the aisle. You know, all of these women's groups, they were silent with regards to Andrew Cuomo. They were silent with Chris Cuomo. They were silent on Joe Biden, huh? And they went after, who was it? They went after the Supreme Court justice nominee, you know, for something that allegedly happened 32 years ago. And it was, nobody could remember, not even the people who were all in the room, even the female who was supposedly groped and attacked. Didn't remember the event. That's how much pieces of garbage on the left, you know, are nothing but hypocrites. So how long is it going to take now for Chris Cuomo to throw CNN under the bus?
Not long, because 35 minutes ago, a story just popped up that he's now trying to drag CNN down, that they were in cahoots with him and they knew exactly what he was doing. And they had, so he's accusing CNN of knowing about the scandal well before they let him go. But in my opinion, the scandal is that Chris Cuomo was shaping the news on public. He was distributing propaganda to help his brother on news and treating it as fact. His brother, Andrew Cuomo, Governor Andrew Cuomo, was sending patients with the COVID virus into old age homes where people died. But that didn't get him fired. The only thing that got him fired was grabbing ass. So this whole thing is upside down. The real crimes are forgivable, but I guess you grab the wrong ass and you get fired if you are a Marxist Democrat. And now they're turning. Now he's going after the ship that brought him into, gave him all his fame and fortune. He's going after CNN, and I love it. That brings me great joy and happiness, and I wish him success as he tries to bring down CNN and Jeff Zucker, because Zucker can't deny this. He can't deny that. He already said that he loves Cuomo and thinks he's a great journalist. So he's got nowhere to go. This is going to be fun to watch.
You know, you got to be careful what you wish for, and you know,
this will be better than bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, right. Or even the Russian collusion story that was manufactured. At least this one's real.
Yeah. Have you seen bare knuckle boxing?
Oh,
you ever watched
God.
It on TV?
Yes.
You have? Oh, fantastic.
Oh, would you ever get in the ring and do that? I'd never do that.
Not with those guys. They're animals.
Oh, my God. And to think that was the precursor to, you know, to what we watch boxing today. Was it Johnson was the guy's
yeah.
name? I think. Oh, my God. Jeez.
Yeah, Lawton and somebody else. That was such an awesome. For those who don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about bare-knuckle boxing. And this is a real sport that is on TV. They have a bare-knuckle boxing federation. And it is the real deal, and these are real fights between fighters that are fighting bare knuckle. It's like bare knuckle boxing with no gloves, and it is fun to watch if you like that kind of thing. If you're squeamish, well, I don't know.
Yeah, no,
you might
want to
watch the Hallmark Channel or something, but it is great.
Yeah, WeTV. Hey, listen, before we go on any further, you know, I'd be remiss to not mention this, but we lost another World War II veteran over the weekend, and that was a former U.S. Senator from Kansas, Bob Dole, passed away at the ripe age of 98 years old. Man, God bless him. Bob Dole, a senator from Kansas and once a presidential nominee in 1996 to challenge then-President Bill Clinton for re-election. Bob Dole, the war hero, who became the Republican leader in the Senate and his party's nominee for President of the United States, died at 98, his family said Sunday. Mr. Dole, who in February announced he was battling stage 4 lung cancer, had been ailing for some time. Still, his longevity and accomplished career were near miracles, given the grievous wounds he suffered on a northern Italian hillside in April of 1945, and that was when the World War II was coming to a close. Al, an organization near and dear to your heart, the Honor Flight Network, which arranges and finances trips for veterans of all wars to come to the Capitol, that would be the U.S. Capitol, had a long partnership with Mr. Dole. Its leadership said his presence and image will be impossible to replicate. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. Bob Dole, it said Honor Flight President Dave Nichols. There are a lot of people involved in getting things like Honor Flight, and even Monument itself wouldn't exist without his dedication. He was the point man. His history as a veteran defined his later years. Mr. Dole became a spokesman and figurehead of the greatest generation, and he greeted untold hundreds of veterans at the World War II Memorial. I think more than anything, he just wanted to make them feel special, said Tim Holbert, the executive director of the American Veterans Center. That will be my lasting memory of Bob Dole, him sitting there on a Saturday, not with cameras or media around, just him out there on a Saturday in Washington, greeting veterans, everyone, as they came off the buses. Man, that's just, you know, the greatest generation. Hey, you're involved with Honor Flight. Those are very, very nice words from the Honor Flight president.
Oh, he took the words right out of my mouth. I've been volunteering with Honor Flight, I guess, now for the last 6 years. And on numerous trips, usually make about 4 to 5 trips a year, taking veterans up to visit the memorials in their name. And on any given Saturday, Bob Dole, just like you heard, he would be up there sitting, and he would greet every veteran that came by him and welcome them to the World War II Memorial that was built in their honor. And he would take pictures, and he would sit down, and he would talk to the vets. And I tell you, it does make these veterans feel special, whether you're World War II, Korea, or Vietnam. It's the respect, and he does it with no cameras around, no entourage. It's him. Maybe sometimes his wife Libby would be there, and that's how he would spend his Saturdays. And that was in his 90s, I wasn't a great big Bob Dole fan, but he has forever respect in my heart after watching what he did for the veterans. Very powerful stuff, and nothing kudos to Senator Dole, and may he rest in peace and go to a very nice place.
Yeah, you know, he was part of that last good diplomatic, I don't know, cordial generation. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure he was part of that insider. But I got to tell you something. I'm taking a point of privilege on this one. Then you have these scumbags. I'm sorry. You've got these newsreaders like Mehdi Hasan, Bob Dole, who endorsed and voted for Trump twice and called himself a Trumper as recently as July, has passed away. And then the scumbag, Mehdi Hasan, says Dole was a World War II veteran and ran a non-crazy, non-far right-wing GOP presidential campaign in 1996. So, you know, these left-wingers just can't help themselves. You know, the DNC, CNN type, they can't help themselves. They can't be cordial and they can't respect the man who served this country with dignity in both the service, the United States military. Matter of fact, he almost lost his life serving his country, you know, during a time when they were fighting the fascists and the imperialists and just fighting this anti-American sentiment, you know. And now you got Mehdi Hasan, who sends out these tweets, including this last one: call me old-fashioned, but journalism shouldn't be hagiography, not even when public figures die. In fact, especially not when public, not private figures pass away, and when we as journalists owe our viewers, readers, an honest and full accounting of their life and legacy. Well, you're not a journalist. You're a newsreader. You're nothing but a hack, Mehdi Hasan. You know, all you have to do is say World War II veteran, let's just say wounded, disabled veteran, and former United States senator passes away. I'm sure Mehdi Hasan didn't write that former KKK cross burner from West Virginia, Robert Byrd, passed away. I'm sure he didn't say anything negative about Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg and her left-wing leanings, who believed more in the South African Constitution than the United States Constitution. You know, these hypocrites on the left, they can't even be nice when a person who's identified as a Republican passes. No, you got to associate Bob Dole suddenly with Bob Dole with Trump. Well, President Trump did some great things, you dickhead. Okay, so now you have to be inflammatory and you have to besmirch Bob Dole and what he's done for the United States of America, including his service, earning a Purple Heart, and his dedication and service in the United States Army. What a dick. You know, these left-wingers are absolutely, they're mindless. When the phrase was coined by, I think, Michael Savage, liberalism is a mental disorder, there are people who epitomize that slogan. And this one is epitomized by Mehdi Hasan. Can't even be nice and respectful. And you see, that's how dignified Bob Dole was. You may not have agreed with his politics. You and I, Al, are on the same page. Matter of fact, I remember distinctly during the 1996 campaign, well, they thought Bob Dole's choice, and we all thought so, Jack Kemp, was going to wipe the map with Al Gore. And he did not. Jack Kemp, like, laid an egg. It was pitiful. And that's when my whole outlook changed right there. I remember going through some debate party, and it was, you know, oh man, all I heard all day long, oh man, you know, Jack Kemp's gonna wipe the streets and wipe the stage with Al Gore, and did nothing of the sort, you know. But that didn't change my opinion of Bob Dole as far as the man that he was. And he served in the United States Senate with class and distinction, and he overcame horrific injuries, and that's what he should be lauded for. And then you've got these
pastors
like Mehdi Hasan. Oh, Jesus. God.
It should be a natural human reaction, regardless of your political party, to respect one's life and someone who is wounded in war. I mean, he was severely wounded, came back, had a stellar political career. But the problem is not with Bob Dole. The problem is with these Marxist Democrats. And the story that you told about this Meta guy is told me, and I always kind of hesitated a little bit, But these Marxists hate conservatives to the core of our being. I always thought that that was kind of an extreme position. But mm-hmm. after what you said and the comments that he made and the Joy Behars and watching what happened with CNN and Zucker and the Cuomo brothers, I am now firmly convinced that these Marxists hate our guts. It's beyond hate. It's a political hatred. It's almost like the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated to a certain degree. But their hatred towards conservatives runs so deep that it's not normal, and that's how they feel about us, and now I'm convinced that that's true. I'm very sad to say. It brings me much agita to have to believe that, but I really do think they hate us. What do you think?
Oh, I undoubtedly, there are so many instances, and I can list them, you know, at ad nausea here, and you guys say, oh, he's being repetitive. I do want to say that I want to hand it to the New York Times, because this is how you eulogize a man who served his country with great distinction. And it comes from the New York Times. Breaking news. Bob Dole is dead at 98. He overcame grievous war wounds to become Senate Majority Leader, spending decades on the national stage. You know what? You don't have to – we know that the New York Times is not going to laud anybody who is a Republican or a conservative or have an R after their name. But you know something? That was said properly. We know
yes.
we know the stance of the New York Times. And that at least is very acceptable in how they recognize the death of Bob Dole in a headline. And then you've got some dick that comes along, like Mehdi Hasan, who disparages, you know, Bob Dole. You know, what? Because Bob Dole voted for Donald Trump? And what we do know now, okay, you want to talk about how the left wing disparages the right wing. We do know now that the Russian collusion was an absolute hoax. We do know that it was financed by Hillary Rotten Clinton's campaign, and the Obama-Biden administration was in on it. So we do know that, and yet they get a pass on that. We do know that Bill Clinton was banging broad while he was president of the United States, and I won't even say her name because, you know, she probably doesn't want to, but it happened, okay? And now you've got the cover-ups of Epstein Island. You do know that Hillary Rotten Clinton destroyed evidence, and she was shielded by the same assorted individuals in Washington, D.C., who were out there to get President Trump. When, in fact, not only did Hillary Rotten Clinton create the fictional Russian collusion, but she used her personal server, her personal computer for top secret and classified information, and yet was never held accountable for it. She is a born liar. She is a thief. And yet these same individuals on the left side have no problem shielding their own, including Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi does a wonderful job in shielding her own left-wing lunatics, including Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Cortez, Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley. There's no accountability for their anti-Semitism, their anti-Semitic remarks, their Jew-hating remarks, their Israel-hating remarks. Oh, but let's go ahead and start fabricating how Representative Boebert, what she called Ilhan Omar. Suddenly, Ilhan Omar decides that she's not a suicide bomber. Well, where did that come from? Oh, that's right. Ilhan Omar gets to play the victim. And that's the idea with Muslims in America, Muslims in the West. They become the victim. You know, where was Praya Jayapal, where was she when her colleague, her fellow anti-American, Ilhan Omar, were spewing anti-Semitic remarks about Jews and about Israel? Huh? Where is Jayapal, when Ilhan Omar, Rashida Mother Tlaib are endorsing the BDS movement and condemning Israel, huh? Quiet. Silent. Oh, they sat back and Nancy Pelosi covered for incestuous Ilhan Omar by saying she doesn't have command of the English language. And then you've got Ilhan Omar. She's discarding 9/11 attack on the United States of America by 19 Muslim men financed by Saudi Arabia. As maybe some people did something. And where is Jayapal, okay, expressing her outrage over those insensitive comments by some broad from where is she from? Who doesn't understand or have command of the English language? Here is what Representative Boebert said with regards to Ilhan Omar. And because now it's become a national issue and Pamela Jayapal decides now that she's going to weigh in and facilitate the lies that the victim Ilhan Omar is making her out to be, making herself out to be, and demanding that Nancy Pelosi remove Lauren Boebert, Representative Boebert, from any committee assignments. And of course, it was the same Pamela Jayapal who never condemned Ilhan Omar for her anti-Semitic remarks and her hatred for Jews and Israel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Democrat policies are so pathetic and have done so poorly that the left has nothing else to do but troll the internet looking for ways to get offended and then try to target members and strip them of their committees. This is a dumb waste of the House's time. But since the Speaker has designated the floor to discuss members' inappropriate actions, shall we? The Jihad Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband, and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. This member is allowed on the Foreign Affairs Committee while praising terrorists. A Democrat chairwoman.
So here you have Representative Boebert calling out a fellow member of the United States House. Why? Because no one on the left side of the aisle has called out the fraud that Ilhan Omar has committed. Ilhan Omar defrauds the federal government. Ilhan Omar defrauds the Immigration Department by marrying her brother and then divorcing her brother so that they can defraud the U.S. government. Ilhan Omar commits fraud with regards to campaign finance, and there's no outrage. And where is Nancy Pelosi holding her the members of her House of Representatives accountable, irrespective of party affiliation? But it's all about party affiliation. You said, you know, about the media, Al. Well, now we've got the situation of the partisanship by the partisan, petulant, nasty Pelosi. You know, she had an opportunity to bring civility to the House and to drop the hammer and expect that members of the United States House of Representatives, irrespective of the party affiliation, okay, are held to some sort of account, some sort of standard. And there are no standards for if you're a member of the Democrat Party. Nancy Pelosi has proven that. Of course, it's the same Pelosi who attacked and assailed and besmirched President Trump on a daily basis. But that was the mission of the Democrat Communist Party. Nancy Pelosi had Jerry Nadler write a six-page manifesto, How We Resist Trump and His Extreme Agenda. And that mission was put into play. So why do we even expect that Nancy Pelosi would hold any member of her party accountable for their actions, including their anti-Semitic remarks, their anti-Israel remarks, their Jew-hating remarks, as Ilhan Omar has expressed not once, not twice, but several times in the United States House of Representatives and outside in speaking engagements. And suddenly, Ilhan Omar is the victim. And then a false and phony narrative was created just 2 weeks ago, and it was started by the dishonest Ilhan Omar, that Representative Boebert called her a suicide bomber. She did nothing of the sort. She did nothing of the sort. a member of the Jihad Squad. And there are several interpretations, several meanings of jihad. But the official law-abiding definition of jihad, as written by Umdat Salik, Reliance of the Traveler, and since Ilhan Omar is of the Sunni Islamic faith, this would apply to her. So therefore, she knows the definition of jihad, and she knowingly lied. But why would we be surprised? Because here's a woman who's defrauded the federal government. Here's a woman who's defrauded the United States Immigration Department. Here's a woman who's defrauded campaign finance. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. That's it. End of story. That's the whole definition of jihad. There is nothing in there about a suicide bomber. And now you've got the other member of the fraud squad, Pamela Jayapal, who decides that she's going to weigh in and play the victim card as well. And further the lie of Ilhan Omar being called a suicide bomber. It never happened. And that's a disgrace of Islamists. That is the disgrace of Nancy Pelosi in the United States House. This is the cancer of progressive politics. It's the cancer of Nancy Pelosi, who can't put two words together anymore. And then you have the same Nancy Pelosi who comes to the defense of Ilhan Omar proclaiming she doesn't have command of the English language. Oh, but suddenly Ilhan Omar has command of the English language because she said that Representative Boebert called her a suicide bomber. And that was horse crap. She never called her a suicide bomber. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Page 599 in Reliance of the Traveler, Umdat Salik. Etymologically derived from the word mushahada, signifying warfare to establish the religion. And in the lesser jihad, as for the greater jihad, it is the spiritual warfare against lower self, which is why the prophet said he was returning from jihad. We have returned from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad. Nowhere does it say suicide bomber. But you know, the Muslim Brotherhood and frauds like Ilhan Omar, they prey on ignorance. They know that the American people really and honestly don't know what jihad means. So therefore, they will define what it means. They also pray that you don't understand what Islam means and what their end game is. And therefore, they will define it, just like the Democrat Party will define the Republican Party. Pamela Jayapal didn't come out and start demanding an apology from the Democrat Party when Steve Scalise got shot by a Bernie Sanders supporter. Huh? Where was Nancy Pelosi during all that about condemning that type of hate? Huh? That was truly hate, going after GOP members of the House who are on a ball field, an open ball field, and their own member gets shot by a lunatic. Huh? Where was Prajapal, Jayapal then, huh? She was silent. She was silent. She was silent when Ilhan Omar uttered her inflammatory anti-Jew remarks. Oh, just follow the Benjamins. Oh, I just want to say that Representative Omar doesn't have command of the English language. It's unbelievable what we're seeing today. And you see the Democrat Communist Party immediately organizes to incestuous Ilhan Omar's victim defense. Nothing about Ilhan's hatred for Jews and hatred for Israel. And if the Pelosi, you know, Omar doesn't have command of the English language, the frauds of the Democrat Communist Party, such as the anti-American Pamela Jayapal, contributes to the victimization her fellow squad fraud member created. And in typical Democrat Communist Party fashion, Pamela Jayapal continued and furthered a lie. I'm going to end by saying this. Representative Lauren Boebert never called incestuous Ilhan Omar a suicide bomber. The deceit coordinated and organized by the Democrat Communist Party is shameless. But they're keeping this story alive, and so we are going to address it once more.
And former President Donald Trump released a scathing statement Tuesday regarding Congressman Ilhan Omar, blasting the squad member for her anti-American and anti-Semitic rhetoric. He said, quote, Congressman Ilhan Omar should apologize for marrying her brother, committing large-scale immigration and election fraud, wishing death to Israel, and for essentially abandoning her former country, which doesn't even have a government, posted Mr. Trump, exactly what she'd like to see for the United States. And at the end of the day, Ilhan Omar and her friends support Hamas. They support Hezbollah. These are both terrorist groups that hate Israel. They hate Jews. They hate Italians. They hate everyone who is not a follower of Islam. Will Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and the rest of the squad condemn Hamas and Hezbollah? Hell no.
And President Trump was right. President Trump was absolutely right. Ilhan Omar defrauded the federal government and defrauded the immigration department. And there was no backlash from the Speaker of the House. Someone who comes to America, experiences the American dream, who constantly denigrates the very country who gave her an opportunity. Gave her an opportunity she would not have in Somalia. Some sort of forced marriage. Living on a dirt floor, she would never have had the opportunity that was provided, given to her, afforded to her here in the United States of America. And this is how ungrateful members of the Democrat Communist Party and members of the Muslim Brotherhood truly are, because they despise our constitutional republic. They despise our Constitution. And for Ilhan Omar to make the remarks that she's made, and you know, again, Al, it's shameless, as President Trump pointed out. She married her brother, defrauded the government. She committed campaign finance fraud. My God, if a Republican would have done it, can you imagine if Boebert would have done it? What if Marjorie Greene would have committed campaign finance fraud? The left wing would have went ballistic over this. And yet, and they should. That is correct. Because you know what? Campaign finance fraud doesn't know a party affiliation. But when you have a one-party system, I guess that's, you know, and you have a few outliers like Boebert, like Green, who dare to take that step and start calling out these frauds like Ilhan Omar and Pamela Jayapal. All right, and how about that sexual abuser there, Adam Schiff, huh? Who had to settle a sexual harassment claim and using house slush fund against a male intern? Oh, nobody talks about that. But hey, let's go ahead and attack President Trump and start making things up, you know, make up anonymous sources when in fact, oh, you know what? We have Tony Bobulinski who actually confirms and validates that the big guy was Joe Biden, who the Biden crime family is on the take. There's a laptop out there with damning information on the hard drive, and there are photos that we've seen sporadically of crackhead Hunter with various number of women, including I believe it was Barack Hussein Sator Obama's daughter, snorting crack cocaine. Then he gets on 60 Minutes, and it's a big joke because he was snorting Parmesan cheese. I don't know one fucking Italian who snorted Parmesan cheese, and we love cheese. And suddenly that's okay. He gets a pass for snorting Parmesan cheese because he ran out of cocaine. Can you imagine if Donald Trump Jr. or Eric Trump would have said that on 60 Minutes? I mean,
Saturday Night Live didn't even do a skit on it. They gave him a pass.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just want to say, I'll end that story on Representative Boebert. You know, the left wing, the Democrat Communist Party is on a mission. They found their little scapegoat, and that's Ilhan Omar. I'm sorry, not Ilhan. The dishonest Ilhan Omar. And they're making claims that are absolutely false. Representative Boebert never called incestuous Ilhan Omar a suicide bomber. Never. But speaking of the Muslim Brotherhood, let's stay on that thread for a second here. You've got the an interesting story that's kind of been buried, I want to say. If you saw this story. I know you did. So the founders of CARE are the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations, Hamas CARE. The founders of CARE are Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad, two individuals who hailed from the Palestinian territory. That's where they were born and raised. Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmad were originally with the Islamic Association for Palestine that was raising money for Hamas and other terrorist organizations, and shut down by the United States government when it was found that the IAP, the Islamic Association for Palestine, was raising money to support terrorist organizations. And if I'm not mistaken, Al, Hamas is on the State Department's list of terror organizations. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. And then Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad walked across the street from the IAP when it was shut down, or right before it was shut down, and hung a shield, called the council an American Islamic Rights Relations. It'd be known as CARE. You know, we are the largest Muslim civil rights group in America. And over the last 20 years or so, the Muslim Brotherhood Front Group has had several members of its board, somewhere in the vicinity of 22 to 27, who have been either arrested, imprisoned, or deported for supporting terrorist organizations or some sort of a fraud. And then you've got the CARE that was defrauding their fellow Muslims when they hired a non-attorney and presented them as an attorney. And they're a good thing that man passed away, but they did bilk their fellow Muslims out of tens of thousands of dollars. And then you've got Omar Ahmad, the co-founder of CARE, who uttered these words. And this should open your eyes as to what the mission is of the two Palestinians who are running CARE. Omar Ahmad stated that Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. The highest authority in America is the United States Constitution, but not to CARE, not to Omar Ahmad, not to Nihad Awad. They see something that should be put on a higher level than the U.S. Constitution, and it's called the Quran, which means that they believe in Sharia, which means that they believe that Sharia should supersede the U.S. Constitution. But they pass themselves off as these Americans who are concerned about civil rights. Now, they weren't concerned about the civil rights of Steve Scalise. They weren't concerned about the civil rights of the 10 individuals who were killed by a Muslim gunman in a Colorado store. They weren't concerned about the 49 individuals killed in a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. But they were concerned about Muslim civil rights. Right? And now Nihad Awad has decided to weigh in on Israel. Now, you got to understand, of course, the Palestinians are Jew haters. It includes Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmad. This from Jihad Watch. Nihad Awad normally presents himself as a mild manner and measured. That demeanor has helped the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations co-founder and executive director appear on national news channels and welcomed in congressional offices. And of course, he helps facilitate the Muslim Brotherhood's congressional pages, you know, and the congressional Muslims. But his true radicalism was exposed Saturday when he called Tel Aviv occupied and prayed for it to be free. It is Israel's most populous city, the place where Israel declared its independence. Awad referenced to an occupied Tel Aviv revealed that he does not accept Israel's right to exist, and Palestinians don't. It's one reason why when President Trump was trying to formulate a peace agreement between the Arabs and Israel, the biggest thorn in the side and the biggest troublemakers and the most irrational were the Palestinians. And once President Trump pushed the Palestinians aside when he realized that they were not going to be relevant in any type of a peace deal, a peace accord, pushes them aside and puts them out of the way until they start growing up and acting like adults instead of children, and put their 1,400 years of hatred aside, then President Trump started forging deals like we've never seen before with Arab nations who were recognizing Israel as a neighbor. And truly, what the Israelis were doing with regards to commerce and ingenuity and actually could actually help the Middle East. But you've got Nihad Awad now comes in. And of course, since we don't really have a president with a spine, and really, you know, they probably installed the weakest man you could ever find, but we have America, making America mediocre again. And we have the gutless wonder in the White House. And so it's not surprising that these words would be coming out of the Muslim Brotherhood front group CARE. Awad's reference to an occupied Tel Aviv revealed that he does not accept Israel's right to exist. We have to fight. We have to take the fight to the other side. Moving the U.S. embassy, our embassy, oh, see, now suddenly Nihad Awad's an American, right? Oh, our embassy. Oh, ours from Tel Aviv, which is occupied, to a city, Jerusalem, that's supposed to be protected under international law. Well, it was originally Israel's anyways. To move that embassy, we should not accept that as a de facto. Awad said, we have to pressure the administration to take our embassy back to Tel Aviv. God willing, it will be free later. It will be free later. Denying Jews the right to self-determination, which Awad did, meets the definition of anti-Semitism accepted by the U.S. State Department in 2016. Mr. Awad was being honest, unlike most of his comrades, Troy said. That would be Gil Troy, a distinguished scholar of the North American history of McGill University. His brutal honesty, which essentially calls for new anti-Jewish genocide 75 years after Auschwitz, exposes the lie. The Palestinian extremists like him would be satisfied with any kind of compromise. It makes it clear that the hatred against Israel has to do with what Israel is, a Jewish democratic state. Not what Israel does. And it should confront many Americans, including some deluded Jews, with the uncomfortable facts that this main obstacle to peace in the Middle East is not Israel's presence in the territory, but Palestinian fanatics' rejection of Israel's presence, period. Al, and you're a Jew. I tell you, I think Gil Troy summed it up nicely when, in fact, and this is what I believe that President Trump saw, President Trump understood, and President Trump decided he was going to take further action. And it should confront many Americans, including some deluded Jews, with the uncomfortable facts that the main obstacle to peace in the Middle East is not Israel's presence in the territories, but Palestinian fanatics' rejection of Israel's presence. I think that's one of the best statements that I've read. It defines the Palestinian hatred to a T.
Well, that's why they got kicked out of Jordan. The President of Jordan kicked them out, and the Black Friday kicked them out bloodily. But President Trump was brilliant, because he knew the playing field. He knew that the Sunnis, the Iranians, and Hezbollah were a threat to the Sunnis, which would be Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and the Sunni Arabs. So what he did is he told the Sunnis, hey, guess what? You guys normalize relations with Israel. You don't have to love them, but just allow them to protect you from the Shia, from the Iranians, and we got a deal. And the Sunnis said, you know what? I'm more scared of the Iranian mullahs than I am of the Jews, so I will do it. And then they signed a pact, more or less, in the Abraham Accords, or showed that they will work with the Israelis against Hezbollah, and it froze out the Palestinians. So all of a sudden, the Palestinians weren't getting all this Sunni money, and they became quiet. Nobody heard from them while Trump was in office. All of a sudden, all the terrorist attacks slowed down considerably. People weren't getting killed every other day and knifings and car attacks because they were getting isolated. That's how you have peace. President Biden, like you said, just put gasoline on the fire.
Well, he did. And you know what? The gasoline that Biden throws on the fire, what it does is it emboldens these Palestinian fanatics like Nihad Awad. Nihad Awad would never have said that if President Trump was still president of the United States, because what would have happened today, 10 months, 11 months later, what we have seen is even a stronger coalition surrounding the Abraham Accord and possibly the, unless, of course, Iran goes in and starts supporting the Palestinian fanatics like Hamas and the PLO, you would have seen possibly some sort of breakage and I don't know, I don't want to say appeasement, okay, of some sort, but of course never an admission of appeasement by the Palestinian fanatics. Instead, you have the trial balloon that was thrown out by the Muslim Brotherhood front group Hamas Care. This is a trial balloon. Okay? No one has mentioned this yet about Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. It's not been an issue, has it, for the last 11 months? We've seen some issues with the Abraham Accord, but I find it ironic, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is that no one's brought up the issue of the U.S. Embassy being moved from Tel Aviv to the capital of Israel. And the U.S. Embassy, mind you, okay, the U.S. embassies are all in nations' capitals. In the 197 nations around the world, the U.S. embassies are located in those countries' capitals, including Jerusalem. And it was lip service for the last 40 years by 10 presidents, 9 presidents, who supported the idea of moving the U.S. embassy to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, but it was never done. And it was President Trump who had the intestinal fortitude to have that U.S. embassy move from Tel Aviv, a city in Israel, to Israel's capital, Jerusalem. And now you've got Nihad Awad, a Palestinian fanatic, who now has launched a trial balloon. He's called Tel Aviv occupied territory. Now let's watch over the next few months how often that term is going to be used. Certainly, you've got incestuous Ilhan Omar will be uttering those words shortly. Rashida Motherf Tlaib now will start incorporating Tel Aviv being occupied. And you're going to start seeing the anti-Israel and the anti-Jew faction come out. And they're going to start opining the same verbiage because they all received the Hamas Care talking points. And I'll tell you, I really do think that Nihad Awad specifically launched this radical, mindless or shameless statement. Tel Aviv is not occupied territory. Tel Aviv is one of the largest cities in Israel. And I tell you, these people are shameless, you know? They are shameless. They destroy Western civilization everywhere they go. And, you know, the sad part of this whole thing with these radicals and these fanatics like Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib, these radicals really make it bad for those Muslims who really had come to America to seek a better life. Practice their religion, but leave them alone. Leave me alone. You know, I'll work my business. I'll run a business. And I'll raise my kids under American values, but I'll teach them the, you know, it's no different than the Italians, no different than the Polish and the Irish. And, you know, you keep that inherent value system, okay? You keep your heritage, but you laud and respect the country that has given you the opportunity and given your family and your ancestry and your bloodline the opportunity to experience liberties and freedoms that no other country affords you. And, you know, we are proud of our heritage. I'm proud of my Italian heritage. I'm proud of my Italian ancestry. I'm proud of my father being a World War II hero and a Purple Heart recipient. I'm proud of my grandfathers, both of them, coming to America and immigrating to America the right way and building their roots in the United States of America, seeking a better life for their families. And then respecting the country that afforded them the opportunity. So much so that all five of their sons served in the United States military during World War II. And it just, it's very, well, the times have changed certainly, but the ulterior motive of groups like CARE, groups like the Islamic Association for Palestine. Oh, I'm sorry. The Islamic Association for Palestine was shut down. But ISNA, ICNA, you know, the ulterior motive of these organizations is to undermine our constitutional republic. It's to undermine the American way of life and actually undermine even the European, the Western civilization way of life. And that's the sad part of it. And I think we have somebody on the line who is wants to know about golf balls. Good evening, Holger. Welcome. Good. How are you?
The Viking horn sounds a little weak tonight with the cold temperatures here in Minnesota. A little tinny tonight.
Really?
just a quick call. You spent some good quality time on our little friendly jihad rep from Minnesota here, Ilhan Omar, and I wanted to apologize to you guys for I missed the CARE annual gala that was on Saturday night in Washington D.C. So I'm really ashamed that I missed that. You know, that's first year.
Yeah, you were supposed to be our reporter on the spot. What happened?
But you know, especially because Ilhan Omar was awarded the American Muslim Public Servant of 2021 Award.
Jesus.
So CARE bestowed that huge honor on her. And I wanted to call just because I thought it very unusual that while Omar is accepting this award and while she's going through this firestorm in Congress, you know, where she's asking Nancy Pelosi to oust or censure another rep, you know, for accusing her of being a jihadi, for accusing her of being a suicide bomber, then I just wanted to point something out, that on the same stage Saturday night, so Ilhan Omar gets awarded this award on Saturday night. On the same stage after Ilhan Omar, There was another person that spoke. There was several people that spoke that night, but one of the other people that spoke on the same stage didn't say this on Saturday night, but has said this in the past. And I just want to read the quote from this person. The quote is, "I hope that when we stand up to those who oppress our communities, that Allah accepts from us that as a form of jihad, that we are struggling against tyrants and rulers, not only abroad in the Middle East or on the other side of the world, but here in these United States of America, where you have fascists and white supremacists and Islamophobes reigning in the White House." Okay, so who, which of you two knows who that quote came from? Alec Baldwin. That quote came back in 2017. That quote was made by a female, another female jihadi, by the name of Linda
Sarsour.
So here we have Ilhan Omar, who's viciously denying any link to jihad, any link to any violence against infidels and all this stuff. And she's sharing the same stage on Saturday night with a woman who basically said, you know, called for jihad against Donald Trump back in 2017.
Thank you. That's a great pickup right there. That is a great pickup. So she was calling for suicide bombers to attack the president of the United States, right? Because Ilhan Omar has defined what jihad means, or redefined what it means. So did it mean something different in 2004 than it means that in 2021?
Yeah.
And again, what does it
say about
Hamas care?
I think that's a little bit hypocritical.
Well, what does say about Hamas care? Huh? They're covering for their fellow jihadists. I'm sorry, their fellow Islamists.
And by the way, the not only was Congresswoman Omar on the stage that night, but there were two other Congress people on the stage that night who were sharing and rubbing elbows with Linda Sarsour. We had Representative Andre Carson, who was actually, if I'm not mistaken, was the first Muslim member of Congress, and Representative Cori Bush. Now, last time I checked, I didn't know Cori Bush was a Muslim.
Right.
But apparently, this is that the CARE efforts to include Muslims in the Black civil rights movement. So Cori apparently was there as the token black.
No, Andre's black too.
Well, token black, I mean non-Muslim black.
Oh, there you go.
Andre's Muslim. Everybody else on the stage was Muslim except for Cori.
I'm surprised that Facebook didn't shut down the virtual award ceremony for hate. I mean, because it was Ilhan Omar who uttered those hateful remarks about then President Trump. Yeah, man.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought it was interesting that
Marxists can get away with anything.
Probably the most radical Muslim activist in the country, Linda Sarsour was you know, and as far as I know, Representative Omar did not decline the invitation because of the inclusion of Linda Sarsour. So I'm assuming that she is given her approval of the messaging of Sarsour. So
they're all friends. They're friends. Sarsour, Omar, Tlaib, they're all friends. They're all pro-Palestinians. They're all Hamas lovers. They love Hamas.
Yeah.
They love Hezbollah.
Yeah.
Okay, so breaking news was that Ilhan Omar given ridiculous award. I'm sorry, Ilhan Omar given award. Yeah. Catch Ilhan Omar at our virtual banquet tonight. So their virtual banquet. Does everybody have to have their food in front of them? And at 7 p.m., we'll be naming her American Muslim Public Servant of 2021 for her great work and courage in defrauding the United States of America and the U.S. government and defrauding the U.S. Oh, no, let's see. It didn't say that. Courage serving her constituents, our community, and the American people.
Oh. Hey, guys, I got to run. I got a phone call coming in. So
all right.
Thanks for letting me call in. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Holger.
Get those crumbs soft.
All right.
Well, see you guys.
Yeah, good call, and he nailed it on that one as well with regards to the care covering the comment of care covering up and facilitating the ruse that Ilhan Omar started, and that's the sad part of this whole thing. They're allowed to, there meaning care is allowed to go out and further these lies, and no one is going to challenge them, because if you do dare challenge them, you're an Islamophobe. If you challenge them, you know, you're a xenophobe, or you're some sort of a phobe if you challenge the dishonesty and the credibility of CARE, a Muslim Brotherhood front group. And it's not about calling your own into question. It's not about monitoring your own, and it's not about cleaning up your own from the sordidness in which they conduct their lives. No, it's about they're a victim. You know, she's deeply dedicated. Oh, she's so deeply dedicated that some people did something on 9/11, and that's perfectly acceptable. Like when she said this.
CARE was founded after 9/11.
That's a lot.
Because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
See? Because some people did something, and this is how she's rewarded for that type of incendiary language. For her anti-American position, she's rewarded for being a good Muslim, and you for saying that is a xenophobe and an Islamophobe.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
That was the clip posted Monday by a controversial Australian Twitter user.
Posted by a controversial Twitter user. Oh,
controversial? She's controversial. People did something like murder 3,500 people, driving our planes into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and then luckily, let's roll, Beamer, took down the one plane in Shanksville. Some people did something. That is one of the most disgusting statements, and it bothers me as much today as when she said it before, but she got a pass.
She did it, and you know what? Go to Sharia, the Threat to America, the Team B2 report, and turn to page 142. The Council on American Islamic Relations was created in 1994 by the leadership of Hamas following a meetings of the senior U.S. operatives in 1993 in Philadelphia. Let me see. 9/11 attack was September 11, 2001. And what did Ilhan Omar say?
CARE was founded after 9/11.
Okay, so CARE was founded. Yet we have actually concrete proof that CARE was founded, created in 1994, 7 years prior to the Islamic attacks on America. So again, she lies. She lies just like, you know, Joe Biden, just lies at the whim. Just lie. It's okay because you're not going to be held accountable. actually, you're going to get an award now as a Muslim of the year. You're going to get an award, okay, for being a Muslim public figure of the year. Forget about the fact that you flat out lied about here, that you disparaged, you know, the 2,994 people that were killed on 9/11 and the $1 billion of property that have been destroyed. Forget about the fact that you married your brother to defraud the United States government and the U.S. Immigration Department. Forget about the fact that you committed campaign finance fraud and you helped finance your husband, not your brother husband. And you flat out lied. You lied. This is
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something.
Some people did something. Tell the families of the 2,994 that were killed on 9/11/2001 that some people did something, Ilhan, and then you're covered up by the Council on American Islamic Relations. You're covered up by the Muslim Brotherhood. This is how dishonest these anti-American organizations are. They say the all right things. They prance out that grandfather, and he says, hey, I just want you to know that we are the largest Muslim civil rights group in America. We believe in civil rights. Yeah. Just it's amazing. And she gets away with it again. And all because she does not have command of the English language. And speaking of Nancy Pelosi, did you happen to get to listen to this clip? Now, Sky News, and I want to thank Sue from New Mexico because she posts a lot of Sky News clips on Twitter, and she's actually turned me on to Sky News. But Al, a mutual friend of ours sent me this clip, and the following clip. Now, I got to tell you, we already know, we've talked about one embarrassment in government, Ilhan Omar, and a corrupt embarrassment at that. But one of the chief embarrassments aside from bumbling Joe Biden is Nancy Pelosi. She's lost her marbles. She is proving on a daily basis that she's unfit. She was unfit in 2017 to be Speaker of the House, but she had a mission, and that was to destroy Donald Trump. But this is the genius, Nancy Pelosi, at a press conference last week. And I'll tell you, we have some of the most irresponsible and unfit members in Congress and in the White House leading the United States government. But this is from Sky News, and it seems like they're the only news outlet now that is willing to be frank and report the news.
If Biden
American
can't go
news
on,
at
yes,
that.
You'd be replaced by Harris. But next in line for the leadership hierarchy is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, who's, 81 or something. Can you explain to me what Nancy Pelosi, with her even with the help of her amazing arm movements, which are just so distracting, what she's actually saying in this briefing to journalists last week?
We're sending stuff over to the Senate. Well, it's, most of the product that we've done is... Now, we may have added in the last day or so, and some of what we added is Senate to the bill, like a hearing. Bernie doesn't like hearing. Excuse me. Bernie loves hearing. Manchin doesn't want hearing in the bill and all that stuff. So some is Senate-oriented, and then we have the family medical need. We figured if they're putting things in, then we can put something in, even if Manchin doesn't like it. So we are getting some... bird and privilege. I think mostly we're getting privilege scrub, because privilege drug is devilish to a bill. Bird ball, it's important. It's you have to take it out, but privilege violation can take you out.
That's just hypnotic, Daisy. America's got 330 million people. It ends up with Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Nancy Pelosi, 1, 2, 3 in the leadership. Explain this.
Oh, my, my, oh, my God, I know. I mean, with so many people, those are the best three they can come up with. And the hilarious thing, Andrew, look what they said about the previous administration. They said that Trump was horrible and that he was crazy and that he was racist and that he was a terrible leader and he said all of these awful things and they peddled just complete fake news and fake stories about him. They promised that they would do better and they would be the adults in the room and everything would be just normal and lovely when they got into power. And now they've got into power and rather than improving on Trump, you've got a president who is completely off with the pixies. You've got a vice president who the very best thing about her is that she can do a bad French accent. And given that clip of Nancy Pelosi, you have a Speaker of the House who apparently doesn't know her Arthur from her Martha.
I had to play that to the end because this lady just nails it. You know, but in all fairness to the Sky News, we had the best, you know, that we could come up with the best. But, you know, there's no way, shape, or form that President that Joe scrambled for brains Biden got 81 million votes. There's no way, shape, or form. He won the least amount of counties in the United States and ends up passing and surpassing, you know, Obama's totals of votes in losing the most counties ever. And so, you know, Sky News, I have to tell you, we did come up with better, but unfortunately, we don't have control of the ballot initiatives or the ballots in the United States. And certainly there were five states in which helped, put the scrambled for brains Biden, you know, over the top. But she was right, you know. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is all over the place. I mean, what an embarrassment. She's an absolute embarrassment.
Well, she's the Speaker of the House, who is supposed to be very articulate and a great orator to achieve that position, but she made no sense. She was drunk, on drugs, took some mushroom. I don't know. I think she was highly inebriated, and she was incoherent. She's the non-Speaker of the House.
Yeah. And it took Sky News, an Australian news outlet, to actually report this, you know, and speak frank about it. I mean, you know, of course, we already know that, you know, the DNC runs ABC, NBC, CBS, the Propaganda Broadcasting Network, which is PBS, you know, MSNBC. All of those are all part of the DNC, you know, network talking points. And they would never call out Nancy Pelosi and her drunken, inebriated stage that she performs her press conferences in. As long as she was able to disparage President Trump, as long as she was able to derail his presidency and sabotage it like she did, and it didn't matter about the pain and suffering of the American people and small business with regards to, you know, PPP money, it didn't matter. The whole idea was, you voted for this guy in 2016 and we're going to make you pay. And she did. And she did. Mm-hmm. And she had her minions like Adam Schiff and Nadler and Steny Hoyer, okay, you know, go after Trump on these on several different charges, all trumped up charges, no pun intended. And the end result is we've got this petulant partisan policy who can't get out of the way a bottle of scotch. And it's probably Stoli, a bottle of vodka. It's probably Stoli vodka because they're so tied to Russia. Or she probably, you know, presses her own potatoes in her office to make her own vodka as they did in, what was it, The Great Escape or Stalag 17. Stalag 13? Stalag 17. Stalag 17 movie, yeah. Dating myself. World War II, you know.
That was as bad a performance as Alec Baldwin saying, "I did not pull that trigger."
Yeah, I heard Gloria Allred today, and she was commenting on that, and it's like she said something that was interesting. She said even George Clooney says that he checks his weapons, any prop weapons, before he uses them on the set. And Baldwin said that he never checked the weapons. It's like, well, that's kind of irresponsible. You know, I don't agree with George,
you're the producer.
George Clooney.
I don't believe he checks the weapons either. They have someone on set whose job, an armorer, is to do that. And, you know, that's the first rule. Hell, it's like the prosecutor in the Rittenhouse case had his finger on the AR-15 and he's pointing it at everybody in the courtroom, including the jurors.
Yeah, oh, my God.
These,
I don't, that,
these Marxist
that was
Democrats
bizarre.
Are idiots. Oh, totally.
Hey, you know what?
What?
I feel like a, you know, I feel a little bit ornery tonight, but I kind of got to break it up. And how about 2 minutes? We're into Christmas season. Christmas is now 19 days away. And, you know, we know that the Democrat Communist Party so wants to do away with Christian holidays, including Christmas. They're coming up with a new Omicron variant. But you know what? I think that it deserves a little bit of Italian Christmas music, and it's just 2 minutes and 25 seconds. So one of my favorite Italian singers is Lou Monti. And here's one of Lou Monti's classics.
Hey, jingety-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey. La la la, la 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 la. La la la, la 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic, the cutest little donkey, you'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be, because the reindeer can, I climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingety-jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. Jingle bells around his feet and presents on the sled. Hey, look at the Mayor's Derby on top of Dominic's head. A pair of shoes for Louie and a dress for Josephine. The label on the inside says they're made in Brooklyn. Hey, jingety-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. Children sing and clap their hands and Dominic starts to dance. They talk Italian to a man he even understands. Kumbaras and kumbaras do they dance, da, 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 da. When Santa Nicola comes to town and brings you chariot. Hey, jingety-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey. La, 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 la.
Hey, Dominic, what another
Hank, he's no Jimmy Rosella, that's for damn sure.
I love that donkey.
I do too. Oh my God, we grew up with that, you know, and Dominic the Donkey and Peppino the Mouse by Lou Monti. Lou Monti was great. What a great Italian singer. If you want some great Italian music, uplifting, positive, this guy was great. I loved Lou Monti. He was just one of my favorites. So, and it's the Christmas season.
That's right. No happy holidays here. Merry Christmas.
That's right. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah as well, you know, to all of our Jewish friends come to an end today. So last night.
Yep. Merry Christmas, and I did not pull that trigger, Judge.
Right. The sound that you are hearing in the background is nothing. So, in New York City, we got the hysteria now of the Omicron. I'm sorry. I meant Omicron, as the big guy calls it, but it's actually the Omicron variant.
But wait,
of
wait,
China.
hold on.
What?
Hold on. G comes before Omicron in the Greek alphabet.
Yes, but if you were to call it the G variant, it would be disparaging against the Chinese. But do you know?
Start of the virus.
Right. And the problem is, it's not the Chinese people with regards to Xi. It is who? It identifies the president of Communist China, President Xi Jinping. And that's why they skipped over Xi. And they skipped over Nu and Yu as well, because it's not a new virus. It's a variant. So the next one was the Omicron. I'm sorry, the Omicron.
But variant. I heard people aren't even really getting sick from it.
That's exactly right. But see, you wouldn't know that, though, by the hysteria of the left wing in America.
Oh, there's just lots of hysteria, a lot of people wearing masks.
Yes. And the fear that's being instilled, you know, by bumbling Joe Biden, and who never misses an opportunity to scare the hell out of people. And now even something one even better. Okay. You've got President Shameless. Okay. Who uttered the following: the actions I'm announcing are ones that all Americans can rally behind and should unite us in the fight against COVID-19. And they come from a position of strength. There's nothing. Biden comes from nothing of strength. He leads from behind. The actions that he dictated with regards to travel in the United States, that you're gonna require a COVID testing prior to coming into the United States, it's already being done by countries outside of the United States. If you are leaving a foreign country to come to the United States, you have to have a negative COVID test. You have to have, in some cases, you have to also have a negative PCR test that you have to pay for. And now all of a sudden, you know, the big guy decides he's going to make it that it was his idea that all travelers, irrespective of your country of origin and your citizenship of the United States, must provide a negative COVID-19 test prior to entering the United States. You know what? The countries are already doing it in order to enter the United States of America. So, you know, again, it's another Biden lie. But perhaps the most tyrannical thing to happen came out of New York City. Now, in New York City, there is a new tyrannical edict that was issued by Communist Mayor Vaughn Wilhelm Jr. de Blasio. Wilhelm de Blasio now to mandate all private sector workers to be vaccinated with China virus vaccine. Two, Wilhelm de Blasio mandates vaccine proof for indoor dining, fitness, and entertainment for children ages 5 to 11. The Delta variant of China virus had a 99.8% survival rate for all children in that age bracket, yet Wilhelm de Blasio now requires vaccine proof for all children 5 to 11. Wilhelm de Blasio will require two vaccine doses, not just one. Now, if you dare to work in New York City, you will comply with the government. This is how we communists work. You will comply or you will not be able to work inside of New York City. I mean, can you believe this? Can you absolutely believe he's going to require a vaccine mandate when in fact the courts have ruled that it's unconstitutional to do so. But it doesn't matter to the communists in government. It doesn't matter to the communist heir Wilhelm Jr., Bill de Blasio. It doesn't matter. You know, they're making these unilateral, unconstitutional decisions, and it's time to slap these politicians down. The Constitution of the United States means something, but it means absolutely nothing to these people in government today. Nothing. Whether it's Joe Biden, whether it's Communist Kamala, whether it's Barack Hussein Sator or Obama, or Wilhelm de Blasio Jr. It's absolutely disgraceful.
He's a tyrant. Oh, and a Marxist. This is how Marxists act. I'm not surprised. And he'll get voted in again because there's more Marxists in New York City.
Okay, so he's term limited, and he was term limited, but he granted himself another term last time around, but he's not running anymore. So the new mayor of New York City, the incoming mayor, was the borough president, and I don't remember his name, but de Blasio is out. As of, I don't know what date he is out of. Maybe it's January the 1st. But again, he unilaterally overrode the United States courts, and that is wrong. And I hope to hell that there are a million class action lawsuits. And to unilaterally decide that if you're a private sector worker, you must be vaccinated, stick that up your Marxist red ass there, Wilhelm. It's amazing. It's unbelievable what we're seeing today with these unilateral decisions. And I Hold just sent me a breaking news earlier today with regards to bumbling Biden unilaterally issuing an edict or unilaterally decided that he was going to start trade with Iran. I mean, how much more treasonous can bumbling Joe Biden get? I mean, the guy's been on the take for 50 years. He's a plagiarizer. He's a flat-out liar. And the only reason why he's president is because he was installed by whatever powers to be, because there's no way, shape, or form that he got 11 million more votes, and thank you, boy, than Barack Hussein Sator Obama got after Barack Hussein Sator Obama won something like 700 more counties than bumbling Joe Biden did. And now the breaking news is the Biden administration quietly waived sanctions on Iran to allow the hardline regime to sell electricity to Iraq. Now, you say, well, oh, that's humanitarian. That's crap. First of all, they bypassed Congress, meaning Obama Biden bypassed Congress in putting together an agreement with Iran. And they call it the Iran Treaty. It's no treaty because it was never ratified by the United States Senate. And then you've got Biden unilaterally bypassing Congress once again and violating the agreement. Not only that, he's already purchased oil from Iran. Had the U.S. purchase oil from Iran, 9 million barrels? I didn't care if it was one barrel of oil. You're talking about the President of the United States authorizing the purchase of oil from a theocratic terrorist state who constantly refers to the United States as the great Satan and Israel as the little Satan, who threatens Israel on a daily basis, our ally, who funds terrorists not only in Iran, but also finances Hezbollah, finances Hamas, finances terrorists that are training in the tri-country region in South America. Heavens knows how many of those terrorists have made their way through America's southern borders. And Joe Biden unilaterally decides to scrap any type of sanctions. I mean, this guy is unbelievable what he was put in to do. You know, and the failure of this administration, the failure of the Biden-Harris administration now, you know, they tried to dismember and dismantle everything Trump did to erase Trump presidency from history. And they quickly discarded everything. And I just read today, a newsflash came over that that now bumbling Biden is re-implementing the remain in Mexico policy at the southern border. You know, Biden has been an abject failure. And the reason that they went ahead and they discarded and they've scrapped all of Trump's ideas because Trump was right. They knew Trump's plans were working and they were better for America. And to continue Trump's policies is an admission of the right thing to do. And it's a validation of Donald Trump's presidency for 4 years. And so you let the southern border go to hell. You let Afghanistan go to hell. You scrap the Abraham Accord. You screw up the Iran sanctions. And it doesn't matter that it threatens Israel. It doesn't matter if it threatens, you know, any other Arab allies. But now he's now re-implementing Trump's Mexican policy, immigration policy.
And that's a good thing. Keep them in Mexico.
Well, certainly it's a good thing.
But I tell you, if you were Taiwan, I would be mighty scared right now after this whole Iranian electricity in Iraq deal. Taiwan's going to go, well, NATO's not going to protect me, and America's not going to protect me. We're done. We're toast.
Well,
so that's
on
the on-deck circle of national security issues. What the hell is Russia going to do with the Ukraine, and then what's Biden going to do about it?
Hey, Al, if you're the president of Russia or if you're a president of communist China, do you really fear Joe Biden? I mean,
I would feel compelled that if I wanted to invade Taiwan, then this is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've already amassed the troops. I've already dropped balloons like crazy. They've got troops already amassed on the border, just waiting for the ground to freeze so the tanks can go in without getting stuck. And then once the ground gets hard, I think it's going to be go time. And I don't think the United States is going to do a gosh darn thing about it.
Hey, look what the spineless wonder did, Joe Biden did with regards to China. I mean, seriously. The story came up with regards to bumbling Biden and China. Do you know what he's doing in China with regards to the Olympics? He is going to keep the diplomats from going to the Olympics.
Right.
He's
gonna diplomatic
boycott.
Whatever
yeah.
the hell that is.
Wow. I mean, that takes some backbone to have a diplomatic boycott, man.
Well, do you think the United States should completely boycott the Olympics in China just on, I don't know, COVID alone?
Not just COVID. You know, first of all, I'm torn because and Carter did it in 1980, right? Was
didn't
the Olympics
like
in,
it then? I didn't
yeah.
like it then.
And I feel bad for the athletes because they're made to be political pawns.
Right.
But you know something, at what point do you really concern yourself with human rights? Huh? And do human rights really matter? And I guess it doesn't. And you've got two sets of standards here. You have one standard for the world and one standard for China. And you have the United Nations, or I should say the useless nations, who kowtows to China and to the Islamic world and doesn't hold them accountable for their actions. What is the only other avenue you have? You know, you have diplomacy, certainly. You have boycotts. But when you ceded your when you ceded, what, 60 to 80% of your manufacturing to China, it's kind of hard to boycott the country, isn't it?
Yeah, that is true.
So, you know, do you do you penalize the athlete?
No, you can't do that because these guys train every 4 years for this. They got one shot at it. They got one window of opportunity.
Yeah.
And to take that away, because I always thought, and we've talked about this before, the Olympics are supposed to be above politics.
Right.
The whole purpose is to bring the nations together in sport, not war, essentially. That's the highfalutin goal of it. So I think the United, I don't think you can pull your athletes out of the Olympics and still maintain that. I think you need to send your athletes. If you got a problem with the country, then it's up to the country, us, the United States, public relations machine and propaganda machine to blast China every chance they can during the Olympics on whatever it is that they're doing, whether it be the disappearance of the tennis star, whether it be how they're treating the Uyghurs, the Muslim Chinese, or even
Hong Kong.
Their advancement in, yeah, Hong Kong, the advancement in space, taking Taiwan. Oh, you got a whole, God, we just, there's one after another, but mainly in space. Now that they've got these weapons in space, space platforms with lasers, who knows, and then these hypersonic weapons where they're kicking our butt. I'm not used to America playing catch-up in space.
No.
And thank God for President Trump starting the space...
Space Force,
yes. Not so great on the name, but it's about time.
Yeah,
but
that's
in our world. So the question is, what's Biden going to do?
Nothing.
Because I think he's beholden to China. I think they got the goods on Hunter. They got the goods on Joe. And they say, they got him blackmailed.
Sure.
I think. I'm speculating. I don't have proof. Well, yeah, I kind of got proof, but.
Yeah.
With Hunter and the laptop.
The Biden crime family has profited handsomely from China. You got the Biden laptop. You got the crackhead Hunter Biden laptop, which exposes a lot. Tony Bobulinski already confirmed. And, of course, that was pushed aside. So now you have the weak spaghetti-spined person in the White House, bumbling Joe Biden. You know, he's not going to send an official U.S. delegation to the 2022 Winter Olympics. Wow. Wow, that really takes a lot of spine to do that. When in fact, what they should be doing is they should be jumping on the Olympic Committee, and really having the Olympic Committee move the 2022 Olympics. And I know it's a short time, but certainly there are facilities around the world that have already hosted the Winter Olympics and can put the Winter Olympics to get a venue together, even if it takes an extra month or two, okay? But they can do so. And you got to start penalizing. Are there human rights violations? Are there violations for the democracy and democratic movement suppression? The Chinese tennis player, no one's heard from her. You've got journalists being arrested in China. Now, certainly the only place for free speech that exists, true free speech, is in the United States of America right now. We don't know what's going to happen with Biden, and his dictatorial, tyrannical belief system. But right now, America is the only place where journalists are protected under free speech and the right of a free press.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Olympic Committee is doing a tremendous disservice by allowing the Olympic Games to be held in China. But boy, that bumbling Joe Biden, he's a tough guy. Huh? The big guy's a tough guy. We're not going to send our U.S. delegation diplomats there. Wow.
Nope.
What a statement.
Not a
word.
Yeah, not a negative word will be spoken about Xi. I mean, even the next virus, as we said, they passed Xi by because they didn't want to offend him. You can't call it the Wuhan virus, even though we do all the time. So Biden's going to do squat douche.
That's right. Nothing. And so if you live in Taiwan, you live in mm-hmm. Ukraine, Biden's already bled enough money out of Ukraine. He already got the special prosecutor fired. What does he care about Ukraine? Doesn't. Well, why should he care? He'll say a few tough things.
Man, hell, they already sent the missile up and hit a satellite and spewed space debris all over that. That put our space station in danger to the point to where the astronauts had to go into the ejection modules just in case they got hit by space debris.
Yeah.
I think this war has already started, and I think we are two steps behind.
No doubt. That's the reason why they put, shuffles in as President of the United States.
Yeah, they don't even have to hit one of our space. They just need to blow a satellite up next to it and let the debris do the job.
God, he's a disaster. He is an absolute disaster.
This is scary. Yeah. This is very scary stuff when you start peeling the onion away on this space race that's happening now and where we are, and then the president just totally ignoring it or appearing to ignore it. Scary.
Yeah. And there's really nobody in Washington, D.C. to call this out, and it's unfortunate. It should have never happened, but that's what corruption does. Corruption kills, and we have a corrupt government right now, and we have a corrupt set of individuals in the government who have perverted our constitutional republic and are seeking to dismantle it. And it's really sad.
Yep.
And our allies are paying for it, like Israel, and the enemies have become emboldened, like the Palestinian fanatics who now are talking about Tel Aviv being occupied, and the Temple Mount now, as they proclaim that's theirs, when in fact we have 3,000 years of history to show that the Temple Mount was part of Israel. It's really, really sad.
Yep.
That we have these type of individuals in there who really have placed our allies in jeopardy.
Yeah, well, I tell you this, I want more Pepino the Mouse and Dominic the Donkey and less President Biden.
Well, hey, but we can get more of Global Patriot Radio starting tomorrow with Eric from the Fearless Day with The Cross and the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Wednesday, you've got Hank Jones and Poly Sports. They'll be talking, I'm sure, college football and the Iowa Hawkeyes meltdown. But then I guess they got a bowl bid to go to Orlando's Citrus Bowl. Thursday, you got Paul Sutliff with Civilization Jihad. I'm sorry, the cancer of Monomania. The Sutliffian Report. And Paul is the author of a new book called The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, and I got my copy yesterday, and I'm going to start reading it. I've read a couple of the forward pages, and already I'm impressed. And Friday we got Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Starts at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and a Straight Way of Grace Ministry with the beautiful Christy, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Fearistan is back with his Crossing the Crescent with the Interfaith Dialogue, the real Interfaith Dialogue, so check out that show if you want to learn about Islam and Christianity. And Monday on, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Block Talk Radio include Airwaves America with G-Ski and Dave, Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and please keep G-Ski in your thoughts and prayers. And man, I tell you, I nothing but admiration for that man. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Fridays 1 to 4 p.m. with her sidekick Curtis. Great show with Southern Sense Talk Radio, and deplorable Annie the Radio Chick is in the room earlier, I believe. And then Chief, Simple Facts of Life, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on Spreaker.com. If you want a break from politics and sports and religion, if you want some self-help, Simone Nicole Show is the way to go. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Thursday. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She's got a great show. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. See you next Monday.
Hey, I want to thank you all for joining us this evening, including Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blogspot. Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue. Bring it on, boy. Ducky Northwest. Hank Jones of Poly Sports. OBFSU, our big, fat, soft underbelly. Good to see you. And Holger, thank you very much for the call. Eric from Catharistan was in the earlier so. But thank you all. Be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Thank you all. Ciao.
That's all, folks.
Great job.
Hey.
That went fast.
Man, it did. Goodness gracious. Started talking about Incestuous on Omar and boom.
You could do a whole 2 hours on that cunt. Oop, can I say that? Oh,
I don't know. We're still taping.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline in Jihad Watch is perfect. Ilhan Omar goes on CNN to complain about Boebert's joke, isn't asked about her own incendiary comments. And see, that's what's really disgusting. And this is how the left-wing media just plays into her victimhood status. And suddenly she's a rock star. Suddenly she's a media darling for the DNC propaganda media. And Jake Tapper, I'm sure is playing that. I didn't see the interview, so I have no idea. But, you know, he's playing up the fact that she's a victim. And yet her anti-Jew comments, her anti-Israel comments, her anti-Israel stance with BDS, and then some people did something on 9/11, and she's not called into question, not to mention how much she's defrauded the U.S. government. I find that reprehensible, especially from somebody who's elected to a position of confidence, okay, in the United States government. And this is, and she's nothing but a crook. She is absolutely a little fraud. You know, she wouldn't last 2 seconds in Somalia, and she would be some sort of Islamic jihadist bitch, okay, because she's subservient to a man. And yet she gets an opportunity in the United States. You know what? Take advantage of it. That's fine. But you know something? She just showed her dishonest ass is what she's done.
Mm-hmm.
And the media is playing right into it. Don't ask her about her incendiary comments. Those mean nothing. You know why? Oh, that's right, because she didn't have command of the English language. God.
Yep. It's a travesty.
Christians being shot up around the world. Muslims fire on a bus, slash its tires, murder 31 people. India, Muslims are threatened, Indians for noting the Quran, the violence in the Quran. You've got the people being murdered in Nigeria. How many Christians have been killed, have been in prison, have been raped by Boko Haram, and nothing from the United Nations?
Silence.
And if you
and
bring
from
this
the
up,
American Church.
Oh my God! Oh, how disappointing is that?
Yeah, but you're right. You bring it up, and you get called names, or worse.
Or worse. Yeah. Or worse. In Iraq, Muslims firebombed Catholic shopkeeper's house because he sold liquor. See, so you must assimilate in the Islamic countries. Okay, that's their country. It's their laws. But then when they come to the West, then the assimilation factor is gone. It's our way of life, not your country's way of life. Okay. It's the Islamic way of life in America and not America's laws, rules, and regulations. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, I don't know. Figure it out. Let me know.
I'll let you know about Paul's book. Paul, I'll tell you, I've read a couple of pages so far, and I just started chapter one, so looking forward to reading it. So.
Oh, when you get done with it, let me borrow it.
I will do that. You got it. All right. Have a good evening.
All right.
I'll talk
you do
at
the
you
same.
Next week. Good night, Sue.
You do. Good night. Hit them good this week. Go low.
Yes. You know what? The weather's going to be beautiful this week, I understand. So I'm dealing with my shoulders really getting to me. So I don't know how much Oh.
Oh. You can't even swing? You can't swing?
No, I could swing. I just today is just another day that I hit a nice drive, just beautiful drive, and it's the extension that's getting me, and it's the outside of the upper arm, and I know it's just like the rotator cuff, but I mean I'm putting all kinds of heat and stuff on it, but man, I don't know what to do.
That's a tough one.
It really is.
You tried everything. You do the exercises.
Yeah, I went through physical therapy, and
did that help?
It helped for a little bit, but now I mean, to the point where I can't extend. If I extend my arm to reach for something, I can't straighten it out the full way. Although I'm doing it right now, but then I start seeing stars, and it lasts for about a good 20 seconds before I can kind of catch my breath, it's just awful.
So you can't, so lifting clubs out of the bag, that movement is problematic.
If I lift it above my head, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't lift it. And then if I extend, I hit a nice drive today, just absolutely just boom, caught it well, and then in the extension where I felt it was, I felt it right at the extension right below.
Yeah.
And it's, the shorter clubs, it's okay, unless I hit the ground, you try to, hit the ball with some spin, forget it.
Maybe you just got to take 6 months off and give it a chance to heal up.
Yeah, I got it. I have a somewhat of a the labrum was starting to shred, but I think now it's the where it's the rotator cuff. I'm almost positive because I can't lift a 10-pound barbell over my head on one side.
Well, you want to avoid surgery at all costs because that's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's 6 months.
So are you gonna re up? Beginning of the year?
I don't know. I don't know. Depends what the orthopedic says. I got to do something because I can't even sleep on my right side. That's how bad it is. So I sleep on my left side or my back. It's perfect.
Yeah, but still. That means there's something wrong.
I'm good with putt-putt, though. It's not bothering me yet.
Putt-putt.
Yeah.
Well, we do have putt-putt tournaments.
That's right.
You could become a gamer.
There you go. Oh man! The problem is, if I can keep my arm
sit at home, never shower, put on about 80 pounds, and eat Cheetos and game all day.
There you go. How are you doing? What's your up, my name is Cheeto.
Hang out with all your teenager friends. Well, that sounds depressing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
In a pathetic kind of way. Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. That's not good news.
No, oh, my God. Every day I'm feeling it more and more. So, oh, well. We'll see what happens.
It's not an well thing. You got to figure out what it is and try to stop doing it and give it a chance to heal. Not that it can heal real well, but you can at least stop the damage for a little while. And then give the body a chance to heal itself because our bodies are pretty miraculous if you give them half the chance.
Man, all you do is work. You know what? And all I do is work out. I don't know if I did it while I was working out. I don't know what it was, but I can't do flies with any weight. Maybe 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds, but even then, that still hurts on the right side. So, it's just awful. Not all.
Well, good luck figuring it out.
Yeah, thanks. I'll let you know. So you hit them straight as well.
I'll try. So it's a challenge, up and down.
You can do it. Do it.
I can. Just have to settle down and not try to kill the ball. But
no,
you're said and done.
Yeah, you know what? You're getting better at it. You really are, which is really good. I mean, you've definitely improved.
Yeah, there's no question. I've improved. But now I just got to go to the next level, which is very challenging. But if it wasn't challenging, it wouldn't be fun.
That's right. It wouldn't be fun. All right. Have
fun.
A good evening.
All right. You too. Have a great
Thanks.
Week, and I will talk to you soon.
Bye, Sue. Have a nice evening. I got you too. That's all, folks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fusing Box.